At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What is Toyota affordability? It all starts with buying smart. And your Toyota dealer has great deals available to qualified customers on reliable cars and SUVs, including the redesigned RAV4, spacious Grand Highlander, sporty Camrys, and Corollas. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid and plug-in hybrid options available throughout the lineup, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, saving you money at the pump. And it means trading for more. Toyota is known for building long-lasting vehicles. And as the best resale value brand, according to Kelley Blue Book, your Toyota can be worth thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicle's projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on the Bet 1520. We're very happy to have with us today the author of In Trump's Shadow, The Battle for 2024 and the Future of the GOP. Our guest is the author, David M. Drucker, recommended by Marlon Fitzwater and Kristen Nevius with the Marlon Fitzwater Center for Communication at Franklin Pierce University, where David Drucker just spoke before the student body in the Patterson Television Studios in Ringe, New Hampshire. To tell you a little bit about David M. Drucker, he is a senior correspondent for the Washington Examiner, focusing on Congress, campaigns, and national political trends. Prior to joining the Washington Examiner, he was a reporter for Roll Call in Washington, D.C., and covered California politics and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger from the Sacramento Bureau of the Los Angeles Daily News. David Drucker graduated from UCLA with a BA in history and spent 8 years of managing a family-run manufacturing business in Southern California, giving him a unique perspective on how what happens inside the Beltway impacts the rest of the country. David M. Drucker, again, the book is In Trump's Shadow, The Battle for 2024 and the Future of the GOP. Let's first talk about the book. What is this all about, and how can someone buy this book in our 17 states and Canada where we penetrate with the Bet 1520? David Drucker.
Hey, really good to be here. Thank you. Look, the book is available on Amazon, which is an easy and a great place to get it. You can also check out your favorite independent booksellers. Barnes & Noble, also with their website, is a good place to get it. But any one of those places, and you're still going to get the book, and you'll get it shipped to you. And I think it's a great read. Obviously, I'm biased on that, but what I tried to do, you know, there are so many books about Donald Trump and his presidency that are out there, and I think a lot of them are great, and I'm reading quite a few of them. But what I set out to do was write a forward-looking book about Trump's impact on the Republican Party and what it could mean for how the 2024 primary unfolds, whether Trump runs or not. And I think that his obviously his presidency was very different in some ways and newsworthy, and we're still finding out a lot about what went on behind the scenes. Some people like what they're finding out. Some people don't like what they're finding out. But either way, Donald Trump really represented for the Republican Party a generational break with the Reagan era. And it has elevated the populist element of the Republican coalition. And what that means, first and foremost, is that you've seen a number of top Republican issues. You've seen Republicans essentially change their stripes on some of these issues, trade being one of them, immigration being another. But it also means that at least in 2024, what you are going to see, and this will be particularly acute if Trump does not run for a second term in a third campaign, you will see these candidates compete to tell Republican primary voters that they are the best version of the next Trump. And that's a really big change from the last 40 years of Republican politics. You know, as I was growing up and into adulthood, and for most of my life, Republicans every 4 years would compete to be the next Ronald Reagan. And so since 1980, we've either had a Reagan on the ballot or we've had a bunch of Republicans telling GOP primary voters, I'm the best version of the next Reagan. My opponent is not loyal in terms of policy and temperament to Reagan. I am your best version of what you loved about Reagan. And what you're going to see in 2024 is completely different. They're all going to say in some fashion or another that I am the next Trump, right? And some candidates will be subtle about it, and they'll say that I'm going to give you the best of Trump without the worst of Trump. And others will be just very overt and say, I'm going to give you the best of Trump with the best of Trump because there is no worst of Trump. So all of that is to say that even though Trump's presidency at times was very rocky, and even though he lost re-election to Joe Biden, and even though Republicans on his watch lost control of the House, which was 2018, and lost control of the Senate, which was 2020, he is still revered by a large portion of the Republican electorate and the Republican base of grassroots voters in particular. Normally, when somebody loses re-election, they go away and sort of rehabilitate themselves politically in retirement by just staying out of the public eye. Not only has Trump not done that, most Republican primary voters don't really hold him responsible for losing re-election and for the troubles the party faced on his watch. And so he has continued to be rather influential in the ex-presidency in a way that we have not seen in many years.
Let's talk about your speech at Franklin Pierce University and the founder of the Marlon Fitzwater Center for Communication, Marlon Fitzwater, and the director, Christian Nevius, recommended you on this program. What was the reaction from the students? Did they like hearing about the future of Republican politics, or were they hostile? What was the sense in the room when you spoke at Franklin Pierce University in Ringe, New Hampshire?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the conversation. They were very educated in their questions. What I was fascinated by, and I think they, whether they knew it or not, that their reaction to the book was what I was hoping for. What I tried to do was just explain Trump's impact on the party and why he retains this connection with Republican voters, which therefore explains why Republicans in Washington tiptoe around him so much. And the students in the room were simply asking me questions that, in a sense, were asking me to flesh out the things that I learned about Trump himself in my interview with him at Mar-a-Lago, and what I learned about how Republicans are reacting to him, I mean elected Republicans, and what that means for the future of the party. Right? And in our country, in the United States, it's a two-party system, for better or worse. And that means that, you know, changes in either party, in their coalition of voters and the issues that they promote and the positions they take on these issues, can have profound effects, not just on the United States, but on countries around the world because of the leadership role the United States has in so many corners of the globe. And the students simply were asking me to explain you know, what is Trump really like? What is going through his head? Why do you think he did this or that? And in fact, that's what I tried to do in my interview with him. There are different ways to approach elected officials, and sometimes I play my own version of hardball and ask very tough, challenging, confrontational questions. But what I was trying to do in Trump's shadow is get inside the head of Donald Trump and these other Republicans that are looking at a presidential bid and have been preparing for a presidential bid for quite some time, and trying to understand who they are, why they've been doing what they've been doing, to give people information from which to make their own decisions, and just to have a better understanding of what has been going on. And as important as it is for us to know what has gone on behind the scenes, and as interesting as it is, I sometimes think what gets lost is just sort of understanding who these people are and what makes them tick, because I think that gives us a better understanding of what is coming. And so that's what I tried to do with Trump's shadow. And the students at Franklin Pierce, when I sat down for my interview at the Fitzwater Center, really seemed to understand that or appreciate it. And their questions were really all about that.
Good. Well, they seem like a bright, studious student body at Franklin Pierce University in Ringe, New Hampshire. Our guest today is Washington Examiner senior correspondent David Drucker. The book is In Trump's Shadow, The Battle for 2024 and the Future of the GOP. And this is available at Amazon or your bookstores throughout the U.S. and Canada. If you're listening in Toronto, South Buffalo, or Washington, D.C., drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you. Please write to Brian Rusk, The Bet 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. A little plug here. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the AMPO Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the AMPO Legal. The AMPO Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores for home delivery. Call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. Again, our guest today is David Drucker, author of In Trump's Shadow, The Battle for 2024 and the Future of the GOP, following his October 26th address at Franklin Pierce University with the Marlon Fitzwater Center for Communication. A little bit more information about David M. Drucker. He is a Vanity Fair contributing writer and appears regularly on cable news and nationally syndicated radio programs. He resides on Capitol Hill with his wife and two sons. And a little bit more about the book. With Trump's 4 years in the White House now in the rear view, an unprecedented period in American political history is concluded. The transition, however, has set off a mad scramble for control of a Republican Party that for so long has reflected the domineering image of one man, and might even still in the years ahead. Again, the book is In Trump's Shadow, available at Amazon, with Washington Examiner senior correspondent David Drucker, all on the Rusk Report. Let's talk a little bit more about what you were mentioning about the well-reported portraits of a host of Republican and conservative players. Who are those people angling to be the Trump or the anti-Trump for the next run for the White House? David Drucker.
So what I, the initial impetus for In Trump's Shadow was a lot of reporting that I did in 2019, and that was noticing that there were quite a few Republicans that were already active in preparing for 2024, and this is before they knew whether Trump would win or lose. And normally in party politics, if your party controls the White House, you don't start planning for the next presidential race until the incumbent has run for re-election. If he wins, great. If he loses, too bad. But the next day, everybody's free to look out for themselves. And everybody, there were a lot of Republicans that were not waiting. And that was the initial impetus for interim shadow, is to cover, in a sense, the shadow campaign that had started quite early. What I did over time was started to look at Trump's impact on them and the party, and it helped shape a field of potential candidates that I looked at, because it offers a window into different paths the party could take. Now, what I would say, Brian, is that I think that Trump will loom over all of them, and I do not think you'll see a major top-tier candidate that runs as the anti-Trump. I think what you will see is candidates offering different versions of Trump, but the only way you really get ahead in a Republican primary at this level, at this point in history, is to embrace Trump in some fashion. So some will do it from a policy perspective. If Marco Rubio were to run for president again in 2024, obviously he ran in 2016, the Florida senator, what he has been doing over the past 4 or 5 years, as an example, is putting policy meat on the bones of what we like to think of as Trumpism. The way Trump has talked about trade and manufacturing and foreign and other domestic issues, oftentimes Trump's rhetoric spoke to voters, but there wasn't deeply researched and fleshed out policy to enact a lot of what he talked about. And so Marco Rubio has been working on doing that. If you look at Nikki Haley, former ambassador to the United Nations under Trump, and obviously they've had their difficulties in the past several months because of things Haley had to say about how Trump handled the post-election period. But she represents the kind of Republican that could say, look, I agree with Trump on matters of foreign policy, and I helped him on that agenda, but I'm still a traditionalist on matters of trade and economic growth. And so there you're looking at the potential for a crossover candidate. I think Mike Pompeo, who I didn't expect to write about, former Secretary of State, is a similarly positioned candidate, but with the benefit of not having a falling out with Trump. And so he can talk about all of the work he did for Trump on the national security and foreign policy level, combating China, getting tough with countries that maybe, you know, a lot of Republicans believe weren't paying their fair share in terms of how they contributed to defense in Europe with NATO. And yet he is still rather quite liked by the traditional wing of the Republican Party. And so there you have two candidates that are in that vein. Then I took a deep dive into, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. And here's somebody who really, in many ways, represents a Trump-like candidate who was always in fiscal policy on issues of trade and immigration, even the minimum wage, has been a populist. He has long supported an increase in the minimum wage. He in fact, believes in reducing levels of legal immigration, not simply choking off illegal immigration. And so he represents a Republican in many ways in the Trump strain of the party's coalition, although he does differ on foreign policy, where he is still a very traditional Reagan Republican in believing that the U.S. needs to project power around the globe and does not believe in reducing military deployments or the size of our military footprint, even though he may agree about moving it around to spots that are now more pressing than in past years. So you have these different Republicans, and any one of them would set the party on a path that is different from the next, even though it would all fit within the sphere of the influence of Trump.
Very good. Very good synopsis. Our guest, again, is the author of In Trump's Shadow, The Battle for 2024 and the Future of the GOP, David M. Drucker. I'd like to thank those who've called regarding our recent guests, Major General Bo Dias, Steve Sams, Afghanistan veteran, and Joe Winter, who is in charge of the Niagara University Family Business Center. Coming up, we have planned A.J. Baines, president of the Amherst Chamber of Commerce, and the chairman of the board of the Amherst New York Chamber of Commerce, Laura Zepfel, all on the Rusk Report on the Bet 1520. a little bit more information about this book. Who emerges from the warring factions and family rivalries that proliferated and quietly festered during Trump's presidency could determine the fate of the GOP for a generation. And the first hint of what's to come begins with the 2024 campaign to crown the first Republican nominee and national party leader of the post-Trump era. So you have to go to Amazon to get this book. In Trump's Shadow, The Battle for 2024 and the Future of the GOP, written by David M. Drucker, who just had a very successful speech at the Marlon Fitzwater Center for Communication at the Patterson Television Studios with Franklin Pierce University in Ringe, New Hampshire. Now, you talked about Tom Cotton. I've met with his staff. He's a very, very gifted man, very bright fellow, very determined. But the one guy you didn't mention, who seems to be on many minds of many Americans, is Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida for president. In fact, there's been some talk if Trump would reestablish his residency in New York or New Jersey, you could have a geographic balance with Trump running from the Northeast and DeSantis from Florida. What about DeSantis? Is he in the running?
DeSantis is clearly in the running. When I began the reporting for In Trump's Shadow, one of the parameters I set out, in part because I had to limit how many potential candidates I would write about, or I'd never finish the book, was that I was looking at candidates who had started early in Trump's presidency preparing for a race that was really almost 8 years away. And Ron DeSantis was just not one of those people. He was planning to run for governor of Florida in 2018. He ran, he won. And what we have seen, particularly since Trump left office, is that for many Republican voters, DeSantis represents a figure very similar to Trump in a way that they like. He plays hardball with the media. He plays hardball with Democrats. He has played hardball with President Joe Biden. He knows how to fight all of the right opponents in a way that really makes Republican primary voters happy. One of the things Trump did so well, from their point of view, is fight everybody all the time. And he had, in a sense, all the right enemies. And DeSantis has been very adept at that. And so there are a lot of Republicans that are thinking to themselves, and I'm not quantifying it here, but this is anecdotal, but we have seen this in polling, and I've experienced it in my reporting, where Republicans think that Trump did a lot of good, and they realize that Trump has a strong appeal with grassroots conservatives. But for those who think all of that but still would like to see the party have fresh leadership in 2024, they look to Ron DeSantis as somebody who could do that. And I think there are some Republicans that would support DeSantis in a primary just for the fact that they believe it's a way of keeping the party's coalition together, keeping the Trump coalition inside the fold without having Trump himself. And so I think Ron DeSantis is definitely somebody to pay attention to. He first has to win re-election in Florida, which I think he will do in 2022, just given the political atmospherics and the fact that there's a Democrat in the White House. And then, you know, he will potentially pivot to a presidential race. The challenge for Ron DeSantis, and I do think this is a real challenge, and this is not something voters necessarily care about, nor should they, but to succeed in a presidential primary with fire incoming from all directions, you have to have a strong campaign team. Donald Trump was a very unique candidate. He didn't necessarily need a strong campaign team. Just about every other candidate does. And Ron DeSantis' big challenge is to put together a team that will stick with him for more than 5 minutes. His political organization has been a revolving door of consultants and strategists and other people that just need to handle the nuts and bolts of a campaign. And that's fine in many instances, and obviously it has not hurt him yet to date. But in a presidential primary, in a tough contest, this could be a detriment, and it's something I think he's going to need to deal with.
Again, the guest on the Rusk Report today on the Bet 1520 is the author of In Trump's Shadow, The Battle for 2024 and the Future of the GOP, David M. Drucker, available with Amazon and most major bookstores. Do you think there's a 90% chance that Trump is going to run? You met with him. And tell us, what was that meeting like at Mar-a-Lago? Is he going to run again? David M. Drucker.
Well, not to bury the lead, I think that it's 50-50. And I don't mean it's 50-50 because I don't think he's going to run. I just think it's 50-50. I can very well see him running. I can see a scenario where he doesn't run. When I interviewed him at Mar-a-Lago, it was very interesting because I think I was in the middle of asking him some other question, and he just blurts out, I don't know why people think I'm not going to run. Why does everybody think I'm not going to run? So I said, hey, great. Are you going to run? Let's make some news. I'll hold it for the publication of the book, but tell me, are you going to run? And he was not ready to tell me that he was going to run. I think that he is going to examine the political field and the atmosphere and how Joe Biden looks and all of that, and has been doing that and will continue to do that over the next year. And then he will ultimately make a real decision. I think there are days when he is definitely in his own mind going to run. I think there are other moments where he possibly has not decided if he's going to run. I've talked to people that have met with him that tell me that he says all the time he's running. He told me he's running. And then I've talked to other people who have told me that they think that he ultimately might conclude that the trappings of the ex-presidency are more appealing than the trappings of the actual presidency. So, you know, when I met with him, it took a lot of doing for me to get him to focus on what kind of Republican he would want to see as the nominee if it wasn't him. But I finally got him to focus on that after a lot of cajoling. And, you know, what I found interesting was, Brian, I asked him, I said, look, do you want somebody who embodies your policies or your persona, or you just want a strong leader? Or what do you want? And he says, look, I just want somebody that I like. He said, well, maybe that's a failing. Maybe I should want more from somebody, but that's it. Just somebody that I like. And so, you know, it was a very classic Trump answer in that, you know, sometimes I think people wonder why he does what he does and what he's trying to get at. And I think oftentimes it's just as simple as that. Some people he likes because of what they say, and some people he does not like because of what they say. One other thing I'd point out that I just was fascinated by in the interview, because again, I was trying to figure out what makes him tick, at least from a political perspective. I asked him, you know, when he ran in 2016 and he made a big splash because of what he said in particular about trade, and that at the time for Republicans was very jarring. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, did you know it would work? Did you have some intuitive sense that you knew where Republican voters were and you just knew this would work and everybody else just didn't get it? And he told me he didn't know that it would work. He said, you know, because he had been saying stuff like that for 30, 40 years, and nobody had ever paid him much attention in terms of his political positions. It had never caught on. And he said, no, I didn't know if it would work. He said, it wasn't very Republican. It was just what I thought. And in that regard, I think it tells you a lot about Trump and where he comes from. He will just throw spaghetti at the wall. It's what he thinks. And that's what he says. And if it sticks, if it works, he runs with it. And if not, he moves on.
I'm sorry we have to come to a close with the Rusk Report. Again, the book is In Trump's Shadow, The Battle for 2024 and the Future of the GOP. Our guest has been very enlightening and bright and telling it like it is. David M. Drucker. It's available at Amazon and most major bookstores throughout the U.S. and Canada. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, our director of production for the past 15 years, and to Marlon Fitzwater with the Center for Communication at Franklin Pierce University and the director, Christian Nevius, for recommending David M. Drucker. Thank you for enlightening us and have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
At At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What is Toyota affordability? It all starts with buying smart. And your Toyota dealer has great deals available to qualified customers on reliable cars and SUVs, including the redesigned RAV4, spacious Grand Highlander, sporty Camrys, and Corollas. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid and plug-in hybrid options available throughout the lineup, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, saving you money at the pump. And it means trading for more. Toyota is known for building long-lasting vehicles. And as the best resale value brand, according to Kelley Blue Book, your Toyota can be worth thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicle's projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.